Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Journey to Success Radio Network. Our purpose on Journey to Success Radio is to interview people who are making a positive difference in the world. We interview people in various areas of life, everything including business, sales, relationships, disabilities, physical, mental, and many more interesting topics. My name's Tom Tuttle Cunningham. I'm a Napoleon Hill Foundation certified instructor, and I recently spoke at the Think and Grow Rich Summit in Del Mar, California, where I shared this stage with people like Jeffrey Gittimer, Greg Reed, John DeLemme, John Asaraf, Sharon Lecters, and others. And I also met my guest today at Think and Grow Rich Summit. I've had rheumatoid arthritis from my jaw to my toes since the age of 5. That's 44 years now, about to be 45 years soon. And in that time, I've had 4 hips, 4 knees, and 2 shoulders replaced. I've also been hospitalized about 40 times. I stand about 5'1". That's due to the heavy daily doses of the oral steroid prednisone that I had to take to fight my arthritis. And despite those physical challenges, I'm well known for always answering amazing when asked how I'm doing. Find out more about me at my website, tall.com. My guest today is Randy Kimbler, and Randy has spent the last 20-plus years coaching and training salespeople and sales managers in the health insurance industry. He has also developed multiple systems to track, train, and advance the sales teams of many organizations. And he now brings this experience to the systems at Web Innovations, and in particular, one that I loved that they were talking and showing in Del Mar, California, was the OnTouch CRM system. Which I love. I've always had a CRM system, and I do not believe you're a professional salesperson unless you have a real professional CRM system to track clients and prospects and activities. Welcome to the show today, Randy.
Thanks, Tom. Thanks for having me today.
Now, Web Innovations, interesting word, because there are like a gazillion and 3 different innovations you can come up with for Web Innovations. What is it that you guys do? What is your focus? What is your purpose?
Well, as far as Web Innovations is concerned, it was a company that was conceived by my partner and I to try to develop tools specifically for businesses to quickly and accurately help them advance their sales teams. I've been training on systems like that for years, and it's like you, Tom, I'm sure it's been a frustration when you go through some of these systems and they don't do exactly what you want. So we decided to create a company that would actually do these things and hopefully, and our customers have verified this, do what we say they're going to do.
Exactly, and this is so important, not only for us as salespeople to remember. If I have a conversation about someone 20 minutes and there's 5 points, hey, I'm almost 50. I need to write that down. And so to record those 4 points is important, and remember what was said and communicated by email or any fashion, by phone. But also, I've been on the sales management side, and in this day and age, you need to track metrics. Metrics such as how many calls did they make, how many emails did they send, how many emails did they reply to, voicemails, contacts of people, meetings that they had, because in every different business, those different metrics can be measured to know that your pipeline is being built and that your sales are going to be coming. And so salespeople do not always love to record all that in the CRM. Often salespeople use it to record so they can remember when and what was said and communicated, whereas management uses it to make sure that someone's not doing nothing and getting away with it.
Yeah, that's a really good point. I have found in training salespeople over the 20 years, I'm also, this is a little bit of an anomaly, but I'm not only a salesperson, but I'm also a little bit of a geek, and that doesn't happen all that often. But through the years, I've been responsible for developing some systems, and one of the things that I was charged with is trying to keep track of activity of a sales force of over 300 salespeople. And you can imagine, Tom. I know you've been a salesman and a sales manager, and you know what a daunting task that could be to be able to try to be able to identify the skills and strengths and weaknesses of someone that's out in your force, and to know what they're doing and how much of it and how good they are at it. So that was my big challenge. Well, with that, if you don't mind, I'll kind of share with how we came up with one of our initial products. That was our on-target system is what it's called.
Oh, okay, yes. Was that the one I saw in Del Mar?
It's one of the two that you saw in Del Mar, absolutely. Yeah, the this one is not necessarily technically considered a CRM. This one is considered a activity tracking and skill set tool for the management. You talked about the management, you know, verifying that the sales force is actually out there doing what they should be doing. Well, imagine multiplying that by 300. So what we did was we created a system that actually asked the salespeople, and here's the tough part, as you know, to report what type of activity they have created over the previous week. So we started a system that was very daunting, and what we found was no one was filling it out. And the reason is because we were asking them for too much information, which doesn't make a lot of sense.
Right.
So I asked my manager for permission to adjust the system to be able to strip it way down. I know from experience that if I ask a salesperson very few things, and I make an easy path for them to get me that information, I'm more likely to get it. So we created a system that asks simple things like, tell me how many times you walked through a business door this week. Tell me how many times you spoke to a decision maker. How many times did they grant you an appointment? How many times did you actually run an appointment this week? And then how many sales did you close? That's simple, basic sales metrics, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, what we found immediately was we needed to add one more layer to that, and that was initial and follow-up. Because in the industry I was in, it was common for the salespeople to go into an account, get shot down, and move on to the next. So they were literally not following up with any accounts. And you've heard the statistics about follow-up, correct?
Right.
48% of people don't follow up, and most sales are made, 80% of all sales are made between the 5th and the 12th call. Well, if you're not following up, how are you going to get to that 12th call? So we started tracking follow-up, and what we found out immediately was if you track the follow-up, it's not an overhaul for any one of the salespeople. All you have to do is to say, listen, I noticed that, you know, you made 36 calls last week, but you only made 6 follow-up calls. What did you do with the other 30? And just by having that simple conversation, those numbers turned from a high number of initial calls and low follow-up to just the opposite. What also happened was the skill set improved because they were actually calling on an account more than once. So in other words, they were setting more appointments just because they were following up properly. We never would have known that if we wouldn't have asked them that question.
Wow. And then a lot of companies can be left in the middle of nowhere because they say no. I'm thinking of all the CRM systems I use. I would record no, and you know, I would not schedule a call for a year from now. And so it's only by accident that you may ever come across that company name again. And, you know, ideally, even if you don't know exactly what the next follow-up is, you should put some at least 3 months from now, and you can always move it, change it, edit it, or decide then if it's the right time to get back to them.
Absolutely. You know, most salespeople know that they're supposed to follow up, but what I found was we were telling them to follow up when we trained them initially, but we never taught them how to follow up, and that changed in our management style, too. We started to teach them how to follow up properly. But take it from another perspective, too, Tom. Think of it from the customer's perspective. A guy shows up once, and then he never comes back again. What type of reputation does that create for your organization?
Yeah, exactly. And who's coming in between you visiting and your competitor? Like,
yeah, you're burning your market and you're handing your customers to your competition.
Yeah.
So that was one of the immediate things that we determined. And then when we started tracking this data over a longer period of time, think about this. Let's say, and I'll throw out some arbitrary numbers just to give you an idea how this has been so effective for us in the companies that we work with. Think about it this way. You have an individual that's out there. He seems extremely talented and very well versed in his verbiage, and he seems like he has a lot of confidence out there, but for some reason he's not bringing in a whole lot of new sales. Well, your first thought is, well, maybe he just doesn't know how to close. So you spend a lot of time training this guy on how to close.
Yeah.
Well, running the numbers, what we found out was that's not always the case. It might be something as simple as he doesn't know what to say to the gatekeeper. Well, if he's not getting past the gatekeeper, he's not getting to decision makers, so he's not setting appointments, so he's giving himself less opportunities to close. One of my clients is a company, actually they sell copy machines, and they have 50 salespeople working for them. And they're an amazingly talented group of salespeople with great training in place. But when we ran the numbers, what we found was every single one of their metrics was good. They knew how to set an appointment with a decision maker. They knew how to do a great presentation, and they closed whenever they got the opportunity. The problem was they weren't giving themselves enough opportunities because they weren't very good with the gatekeeper. Think about that. If you're only getting past the gatekeeper 10% of the time and you're a great closer, what if I were to say to you, let's sit down and figure out what you're saying to the gatekeeper. We'll tweak a couple of words. Now you're getting past the gatekeeper 20 to 25% of the time. What does that mean to your closing number?
Mm-hmm.
Drastically. And the problem was we never knew that, Tom, because we never ran those numbers in the past. But once we identified it, we focused our training. We didn't spend a lot of money on training in areas we didn't need it. We focused it on where it needed attention. And guess what happened?
I'll tell you.
In 2009, I was in the insurance industry. And if you guys, your listeners probably remember the year 2009. It was a pretty poor economic year for this country.
Yeah.
Do you remember what state was the worst in the country?
No.
It was Michigan. It was us. That was where I worked. So I was in the worst economy, in the worst economic situation that this country has seen in decades. And we had a 22% increase in new clients, new paying clients that year, because we paid attention to these little teeny things. And that's what made the difference. That's what kept our head above water and made us a living and helped our clients to boot. So,
holy smokes, wow.
Yeah.
And that's incredible. And that's kind of, it talks a bit about modeling, doesn't it? Because Tony Robbins, so many people talk about modeling. And if you're a sales manager and you can find out what your top people do well along the lines of the process, you can teach those other people how to do those same things. And so by recording each of those steps in the process, a manager can crunch numbers and see that, yeah, okay, this guy needs work on this, and this guy has a great system. We need to start using some more of what he's doing. And so it's a real great analysis tool as well, isn't it?
Yeah, that's very intuitive of you, Tom, because I'll tell you what happened. And this wasn't me. This was one of my managers. They did exactly what you just said. They started to notice that some of his, of their is actually a woman manager. She started to realize that there were some individuals on her team that were elevated in specific areas, and she started teaming those people up with people that were struggling in those areas with some instruction. And pretty soon, those people that were strong in those areas were elevated because we were asking them, hey, you are so great in this area. Would you help us teach this person what you're so talented in? Which gave them a little bit more confidence about what they were doing, but it also gave the person that was struggling in an area someone else to learn from besides just the manager. And the result was everybody won. Everybody elevated themselves. It was amazing. It was amazing phenomena just by paying attention to the numbers. The data, and I'll tell you this a thousand times, the data that is produced does not solve any single issue. What solves the issue is paying attention and taking action.
Yes, exactly. And this system that you develop helps people to pay attention to the right things.
Exactly. I will tell you, too, that you had mentioned earlier, and I'll tell you what we tried to do to solve this. You had mentioned how difficult it is to get salespeople to fill this information in. So one of the things that we decided to do was create a system that actually took advantage of today's technology. We actually email each associate that's on the system on Friday, and it basically says, hey, this is Friday. It's time to enter your numbers. Click this link, either on your smartphone, on your tablet, or on your computer. Click the link, and it will bring you right to the data entry page. So no one has to go to the website, find where the reports are, drill down, and then enter their data. All they have to do is click a link, and the entry page shows up on their phone. We try to keep it very simple to 5 to 8 different entry points. How many doors did you walk through? How many appointments did you set, type thing? And then they hit save. In 2 minutes or less, the salesperson has put in their entire week, and they can move on with their weekend. So that was one issue we solved. Yeah, it's been incredible. Our percentages are considerably higher than industry standard because we've made it so easy. But on the backside, this is another thing, and you'd think that we talked before this interview, but I can promise you we didn't. But you intuitively thought of something else, too, and that was the management. You know, the management has to use this information. Well, unfortunately, that was another issue that we ran into. How are we going to get this information in the manager's hands in their busy schedule, trying to do everything that a sales manager does today, how many hats they wear, in a simple, accurate, and effective way? Because normally what happens with a system like this is the sales manager needs to go to the website, sign in, then they have to go to the reporting section, put in the criteria of the report they want. Does this sound familiar so far?
Then they have
to submit, and now they've got their report. Well, our system automatically emails each manager, and this is done by hierarchy. So if you're an upper manager, you get everybody in the hierarchy. If you're a lower manager, you get everybody just in your hierarchy. You get a emailed report that shows what they did last week, so last week's activity levels, which you had talked about, and then a year-to-date report, which basically compares all the metrics and runs percentages at what their skill levels are. So now, and this arrives on Sunday morning. So Sunday morning, they can open up these reports, and I recommend with a red pen, and they can say, look at Tom, looks like Tom's struggling in this area. So on Monday morning, I'm going to sit down with Tom, and I'm going to have him do about 10 minutes worth of role play, give him a couple of pieces of advice, and send him on his way. Every single salesperson is not a throwaway. I'm telling you that every single salesperson out there, it usually only takes a tweak. And if you pay attention to that, tweak it on Monday morning, you'll see the results happen. And we proved it in 2009 and beyond.
Wow. That is an amazing reporting feature because it really identifies for managers. And if you have 300 people. You don't know what everybody's good at. You can't remember what everybody's good at. You can't assume because they could be in another city visiting people, so you may not even see their presentation or the whole process. So you have no idea where in that process from leaving their house to coming back home that they screwed up on and or need help with. And so that's an amazing thing. And then another thing I was thinking of is that it's often sometimes difficult to convince salespeople of the value of metrics because they're like, well, I'm an individual and I'm an artist and I don't need to do the 80 call metric every day or 16 visits a week metric. I have my own process. Yeah, sure. But No, you need to follow those activities because those activities bring the results. And if you have a group of 300 salespeople, that's a really good size number of people to be able to evaluate best practices from. And if you think yours isn't, or yours is the best practice as a salesperson, but statistically it isn't, you have to go with what works.
That's right. And you have a lot of data to be able to compare to also. So, and that was the wonderful thing about all the information that came in, and we could quickly and accurately view it and then take action on it. Yeah. So.
And it even helps the people who would be most excited might be the top performers, because they are always interested in those statistics as well, because even they can see where the roadblocks are and where the blockages are in their process.
Exactly. And I'll tell you another thing, too, because whenever we launch this in an organization and they want me to sell the sales team on this, the first question I ask is, are you exactly where you want to be in your career, or do you feel like you could get better? Is there anybody that's going to answer, yeah, I'm exactly where I want to be? Everybody wants to be able to improve, and I'm just offering
them
away.
Whoever said I'm exactly where I want to be, I'd be like, okay, go do that somewhere else then.
It's time to move on then. Exactly, exactly.
Nice. And so it makes it easy for the salesperson and the management team to, especially in a big group of salespeople, to track what's working, what's not working, and identify roadblocks, specific roadblocks individually for people. And wow, what an amazing tool that can be for sales managers. And so how has it affected some of those sales teams of your clients? Have the salespeople been able to implement it without too much frustration and pushback?
I will tell you, as in any system, it all depends on the top down. So if you've got the support from the top down, it's amazing. I'll tell you about one that I just launched, actually April 15th, that's a month ago today. A month ago today, we had complete buy-in from this organization, and they have a sales force of 370 people out in the field. And we launched it on April 15th, and to date, we have 70%+ participation, and they have already made some major strides in the way that they do business just by noticing some small things. In other words, the way that they're training, the things that they're focusing on. And although it's only been a month, and I don't, you know, there's going to be nothing that's going to change the sales force instantaneously, but it has already made a marked difference in their numbers that they're producing, their activity numbers and their results numbers. So it's been a lot of fun. And I've got companies that have 2 salespeople. I've got companies that have 500 salespeople. It really doesn't make any difference. What matters is collecting the information and then helping to understand what the next step should be. Use the data as a tool to help advance yourself. So,
and you mentioned something so key, is it has to come from top down. I worked for a company once. I think they bought like 20, 25 Salesforce licenses for their sales team, but they didn't make them do it. They gave them a little course, had someone come in, even taught them how to use it, but they didn't enforce that you had to, so there's only two of us, the two highest producing salespeople, myself and a guy in the UK, were the only two who used it, and we did use their system. We put up a fuss because we each had our personal individual, which I've had Salesforce license for years, which I have thousands and thousands of great contacts in there, and so I said, well, nobody else is using it. You're not going to use it as a management tool, obviously. I want to prefer to put all the contacts in my own personal Salesforce. And so because management didn't enforce that everyone had to do it, and not enforce it, but salespeople are easy to sell. So if you can sell them on how it will help them make more money and track their relationships better and enforce that they do it, it has the biggest ROI. If you just buy it and give them the option, might as well not buy it.
Exactly. It's money thrown away. And you know, in everybody thinks that when they implement a system like that, they have to micromanage it. But to be honest with you, I do a training for my new clients, too, on how to make it effective. And basically, what I do is I have them pull up the reports, and I say to the management team, tell me what you see. Okay, now that you've told me what you see, tell me what the plan would be to fix it. Well, if you ask that question 2 or 3 weeks in a row, that's not micromanaging. They're suddenly creating their own solutions to be able to use the data effectively to make a change in their organization. Very simple.
Exactly. And having data just for the sake of data without having a plan to implement changes or improve it, that's kind of not valuable at all either.
And I know that, Tom, I know in your history you'd probably say the same thing, but there's nothing more frustrating to a salesperson than having someone make you fill something out and then never knowing what happened with that information.
Right.
You've got to talk about it.
As a salesperson, I'm going to fight back. I'm going to be, why am I filling this stupid check mark thing in this CRM? Those guys never pay attention to it.
Exactly.
And so pretty soon you get lazy, your habits get lazy, and you're using like 10% of the system.
Yeah, and I've had people tell me, you know, ever since we started this organization, I've had people tell me, they had us fill out this new CRM, so I started putting in some really goofy things inside because they say they're monitoring it. So I put in things that were really off the wall, and no one ever noticed. Well, you know they're not looking at it. And you know what? That's a shame because it can be a valuable tool, as you said. So.
Exactly. I remember using one time, or a few people did this, tried to screw the system. As they would enter that they made 80 phone dials, but if you looked at their phone log, there were like 20. And so you're like, where were you making the other 60 from?
You want to hear another interesting thing. And I'll say this politically correct because I don't want to offend anybody, but with our system, it's a great lie detector because that very thing. Because if you're saying you made 80 calls and you only set one appointment, then there's something seriously wrong. It's either that you're misleading on the numbers or you're not very good at your job, and you know. And this is what I have learned, and I'm the same way. I'm putting myself in the same bunch with other salespeople. But salespeople would rather tell you that they put the wrong numbers in or they misled on the numbers than they are that horrible at their job.
Exactly, and this is what I tried to explain to them. I tried to explain that by doing this, you are making yourself look like a really horrible salesperson.
Well, that conversation usually corrects it, though. That's what my point is. Then you get good data in and good data out when you just ask them. When you ask them, seriously, you made this many and this was the results, you will fess up to it, and then you'll get good data.
Exactly. Now, when I was in Del Mar, you did something cool that I thought, wow, salespeople would love this. You spoke into your phone something about next call or just made a call or blah, 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 finish, and you updated a record.
Yes.
What was that system? Because I was like, wow, I could do that. I have a phone, and I can speak.
Well, that is our other system, Tom, and it, interestingly enough, because I'm such an impatient salesperson like the most, I didn't want to slow down for anything. It was one of the features I requested when we developed this, but that was our on-touch system. The on-touch system, and I know you've heard this term before, and don't take my word for it. Check it out before you believe me, and I know that you've already seen our on-touch system, but you hear the term out there, simple CRM, all the time, and I got a little frustrated with that term, too, because I know that because I've trained salespeople on big CRMs, the big name ones, whenever the organization I worked for brought these on board, I was the sales trainer, so I got to train people on these because I'm a little bit of a geek besides. Well, they're not simple. And, you know, you said that your organization purchased 24 licenses and only a couple people participated. Well, I will tell you from my research that that is average in an organization from what I have read. I can't tell you for sure. I haven't actually done the ran them with companies, but in the statistics I've run, it is a low participation. But think about it this way. CRM systems are designed as client relationship management tools, right? They're designed
right.
to help you track your clients and then follow up. But through the years, all the things that are in a CRM system, who developed those? I mean, who wanted to know all that information that is in a CRM today? Well, from my perspective, it seems to me that a lot of the data that is asked to be collected was asked by the CFO, the CEO, the CEO of a company. Now you've got guys, and what are salespeople hired to do? Fill out reports? Is that what their special skill is? Of course not. Their special skill is creating relationships with clients and selling. Well, my thought process is in developing the OnTouch system was, you know what, let's create a system that was specifically designed for salespeople, and here's the important part, by salespeople.
Nice.
So in other words, everything that's in this system is something that I know as a salesperson of 25 plus years that this is what I would use in the field, and there is no extra. I've had people come to me a number of times and say, you know what, Randy, what would be really cool is if your OnTouch system did this or that. I said, you know what, that would be really cool, but you'll never see it. Why? Because it makes it more complicated, and you're less likely to use it, and I want you to use it on a daily basis. Does that make sense?
Exactly, exactly. And I see the point about the CFO. He's like, well, while you're building it, why don't you ask them to let me know how many hats they left behind or pens, and what else? Put the mileage of their car starting the day in there as well, and what else do I need to know? And pretty soon the guy's got a full-time job doing a report every Friday for some CFO who's going to nitpick through all these data. And so, there's only a few things you need to track.
And what do they end up getting because of that? They end up getting two guys out of 25 using it. Wouldn't it make more sense to strip it down and get the things that are going to be able to make sales but get 70% or 80% of them participating? Would that make more sense? So that was the whole concept of the OnTouch OnTouch client management system. And
now tell me about that the voice thing, because I thought, like, holy cow, I could be starting my car and doing the things I'm doing on my way to my next appointment and just be like, spoke to Bob, call him back 3 months. It felt kind of like Star Trek-ish.
Exactly, a little bit futuristic. Basically, what we did was we created a system that basically you can put in your contacts, you can import them in from Outlook or Google, or you can actually put them in. If you collect a business card, if you have the office number, you can actually type in the office number, and it will go to the web and look up the company and populate your system for you, so you don't even have to type in the company name or anything if it's in the yellow pages. Then when it's in there, you start managing your clients by what we calling touches. The system is called OnTouch. And we call every time you touch a client, every time you're out there making some sort of contact, it's a touch. Well,
right.
In the touch log, you can contact them by email, by phone, or in person. Isn't that what you're already doing? You're already doing that, right? Exactly.
Those are the three.
Yeah, so the purpose was, let's develop a system that you can do what you already do without slowing you down, and this system will track it all for you. So basically, here's what happens. You go, I open up Tom Cunningham into my OnTouch system, which, by the way, Tom, you are in my OnTouch system already, so you are one of my contacts. So I go to this, and this is how I've contacted you over the last couple of weeks. I go to my notes on my touches, and it says, contact Tom to talk to him about the radio interview on the 15th. So then I, on my touches, it actually has your phone number. I touch your phone number in the notes, and it opens up my phone on my phone. It dials
right.
your number. I have a conversation with you. By the time I'm done with the conversation, I put the phone away from my ear and pull it down, and it's back to on touch again. And it says, okay, Randy, what was the conversation with Tom about? I hit note. It opens up a note box. Then I go to the keyboard. And you know on your phone keyboard, there's a little microphone next to the space bar?
Yeah.
I hit the microphone and I say, talked with Tom. We talked about, some information about our next meeting. And then I hit save. The note I just dictated in there is saved. And then before it lets me leave, it says, well, wait a minute. Didn't you mean to schedule something for the future? How many issues have we lost? How many sales have we lost because we forgot to schedule the follow-up? This system says to you, hey, Tom, you didn't really mean to leave yet, did you? Didn't you mean to schedule something for down the road? So you hit the calendar, put it on the calendar, put how you're going to contact them by email, phone, or in person, hit save, add another dictated note, you're good to go. Now, every Sunday, it sends me a list. And I think you might have noticed this by now. Every Sunday, you get an email from OnTouch. The email basically is a list of everybody you're supposed to contact that week, when you're supposed to contact them, and then why you're contacting them, which is a nice little reminder there, too.
Yeah.
And it's all on the run. Nobody has to slow down to use the system, and that was very important to us, too. So that's out there like that.
On the run is the best. That's what I thought was so cool. Like I pictured a guy just walking to his car after to the parking lot after a meeting, and he can do some of this just while he's walking.
Yeah, exactly. Well, I'll give you the example. This is kind of funny, but I took my wife on a cruise a few months back, and so I took a few weekdays off. We got back to the airport. We had to wait for the airplane. My wife says, I'm going to go to the shops to do a little shopping. She took off. I sat in one of those chairs at the airport. I had 8 contacts to make that day. I made them all from my phone by dictating, by touching, by making phone calls, shooting an email. Boom. She comes back an hour later. I had all 8 contacts made. I was up to date by the time I flew home.
Wow.
It was wonderful.
Yeah, yeah. And this is what salespeople love. This is what they crave.
Exactly. Let me do what I'm good at. Don't make me fill out reports.
Make my life simple.
Yep.
Keep me away from that CFO guy.
We'll give them something, just not how many hats they left behind.
Exactly. And so now, what is the best way for people to find you? Do you have ways they can try it? Is there a website for those? Are two separate programs, are they, On Target and On Touch?
They are. As far as the On Target activity tracking system, if you're a sales manager or a company that has salespeople, if this is something that you're interested in taking a look at, I would recommend that they go to our website, which is getweb.co. That's getweb.co, and then you'll find me on there. You can take a tour of the system a little bit, and then contact me, and I'll be happy to set up a webinar so that we can determine if this really is truly a system that would be valuable to your company. And that's for sales managers and companies that have sales teams. For the OnTouch system, that is an individual system that somebody can actually go to today and sign up for and actually try it out for free.
Nice.
And that, if they go to ontouch.co, that's ontouch.co, go to the system and sign in. It'll let you put up to 10 of your clients' names in there as a test for free, forever actually. You can test it with 10 clients for free. And run it through its paces, and if it seems like a clean system that would really work for you, and if it does everything we said it would, you can actually go on, and at the bottom of the screen, it'll say sign up for Pro. And to be honest with you, it's a very inexpensive system. They can actually sign up for the Pro. It's unlimited contacts for $10 a month.
$10?
Yeah, that's it.
That's pretty cheap.
Yeah. Yeah, we figure We figure we want to help a lot of people, and we don't want to hinder them in any way, shape, or form. And this is a great way to do that. And there's, you know, and we'll stand behind it. We believe it's a product that will do you well. So,
and
that's how you get
hold
of them.
I used it. I love it. It is easy to use. And just so people, this will be kind of a memory tool for them, because when I met you and you wrote the website address down, I thought, that fool, he didn't put the M on the end. He just put .co. I thought, why didn't he put the M on there? But it really is ontouch.co, right? ontouch.co. I thought, okay, I'm just going to put the M in there, and it didn't show up. And I was like, okay,
right.
It was .co.
Yeah, I think that's the biggest complication we have on the system. Everything else to run pretty smoothly.
Don't put the M, just put ontouch.co. And the OnTarget one, that's probably that's an amazing one, too, for sales managers, as you said, getweb.co. And, you know, you don't have to be too smart to remember getweb.co.
Everything,
and so try that out.
Take it easy.
Exactly, because this sounds like it can help you track the activities of, and in this day and age, your sales force can be all around the world working from home in different countries and different states. This sounds like a great tool to be able to find out what they're doing, what's working, and be able to get more people doing what's working.
Absolutely.
Excellent. What's the Web Innovations website? How does Web Innovations go along with OnTarget and OnTouch? Are they both on the Web Innovations website, or is there a different
website? It is. Yeah, well, because OnTouch is an individual product, we created its own landing page. That's why you go to ontouch.co. But if you want to know about Web Innovations, that's the getweb.co website.
Okay.
And just so happens OnTarget is on there, and you can even do a little video overview of the product.
Oh, excellent. I like video. Easy.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Very good, very good. So Web Innovations is actually at getweb.co. And
correct.
Salespeople, when I think of this, Randy, I think not just if you're working for a company and being paid, you know, whatever your salary commission, but I'm thinking if you're a network marketer, if you're in direct sales, if you have your own little entrepreneurial business, these are the people that need it. They can afford $10 a month, and they're silly if they don't. Don't just think of yourself if you're an actual employee salesperson, but if you're an entrepreneur, small business person, inventor, creator, anything where you have to get out there and sell your product or
absolutely.
Service.
Direct sales is a good one, too. Direct sales generally doesn't have tools like that available to them, so it's a good
no,
one
exactly. They do not have tools like that, and most people getting into it are not aware of tools like that. They've not used them. But if you really want to ramp up your customer service, your follow-up, not have any names escape your funnel, you need to use some kind of formalized CRM system.
Exactly.
And for $10, you know, sell one of whatever you're selling, and you paid for your program numerous times over for that month. Excellent. Thanks so much for your time today, Randy. I appreciate it. I love CRM systems. I know how much value they add to sales managers and also salespeople. And free is good to try it, and $10 a month is like a no-brainer to actually subscribe and be a member. You should. If you aren't using one, or if you're just using Excel, come on, start to build a sales career, get professional, get a CRM system, and this one sounds like it's the easiest to use and tracks the things you need without having too much non-value-added stuff in it.
Exactly. Well, I appreciate
thanks,
you
Randy.
The time to speak with you today, Tom. It was been a pleasure being on your show.
Amazing. Have a great day. Good luck. This
yep.
is a great product. You're I'm envious.
Thank you.
Take care.